Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Hi, dude. Jones and Keith. Patriots Monday. Victory Monday.
Woof.
It's a revenge Monday for Mike Vrabel. He goes back into Nashville. Gets a win over the Titans, 31-13. Pats are 5-2, Keith. They are the number two seed in the AFC, trailing only the 6-1 Indianapolis Colts. Long way to go, but things are going, well, borderline perfect for this team. As you said earlier, almost a little too good.
Too good. Yeah, you can't get comfortable. You got to keep your head on a swivel.
Some may say peak too soon.
It is just wild looking at the standings 7 weeks into the season and seeing an early 2000s AFC where you have the Pats, Steelers, Colts, and Broncos are the best teams.
It's true.
It's wild to see that. But yeah, four-game heater that they're on right now. And obviously the first game of this three-game road trip was the toughest game against Buffalo. But then after you beat that, there's sort of different challenges that you had to face. It was like, hey, you guys are really good now. Like, how are you going to do that? Oh, and you're in 2 weeks, you're going to play Vrabel's former team. But they met that challenge against the Saints. And then now there was the, you're in first place. Like, they even asked Vrabel about, like, you're in first place. Now the already pretty high expectations for you guys seemingly are going even higher. So how are you going to live up to that? And they go on the road once again, and the Titans are horrible. Like, the Titans might have the number one pick in the draft for two straight years. They're that bad. But it's also football, and it was only a 6.5-point spread or whatever. It wasn't like they were 20-point favorites like some college football game. Like, it's still the any given Sunday. It's all that crap. And they went in there, and after a slow start, took complete control of the game and won convincingly.
What do you think of this tweet from Julian Edelman after the game? He said, winning games you're supposed to win, especially when there's a ton of praise all week, is the mark of a well-coached team. Vrabel has this team trending exactly the way he wants. Hashtag go Pats.
Yeah, I agree with all
duck
that.
Duck boats.
Even the hashtag.
But I think Edelman's onto something there. And this is what you were just saying. The most difficult game, and we knew that going into this three-game stretch, was going to be Buffalo. And they got the most difficult one out of the way quick. I say out of the way, not to you know, talk down to it or minimize it. Like, it was a great win in Buffalo on Sunday Night Football. But I thought the New Orleans game in the middle had the makings of a trap game. I didn't think they would lose it, but I was a little concerned about playing down to New Orleans at the Superdome. This one didn't concern me. Now, they started slow. I did not expect them to start as poorly as they did. I didn't expect them to make Cam Ward look the way he and the offense did. DK, apparently Metcalf out there, running all over the field.
Yeah,
no, so
they weren't very good.
I did not expect that to start the game. But looking up, 31-13 at the end, I said all week, I do expect style points. I expect there to be a gap between these two teams. I expect them to bury them. And look, it took until the second half, but the Patriots had a great drive to end the first half, a great drive to start the second half. They got the Cam Ward turnover right after that, and the game, for all intents and purposes, was done.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted, and that's what they did.
You know, it's funny, when you look at what they were able to do after beating the Bills, and then compare it to what the Atlanta Falcons did after they beat the Bills. So the Falcons were another team. I don't know what their over-under going into the year was. It was probably similar. It was probably 8.5,
somewhere in that ballpark. Yeah.
And so they beat the Commanders, although there's no Jaden Daniels, and then they beat the Bills, and everyone's like, oh, wait a minute, maybe they're decent? And then they look horrible against the Niners. Like, they couldn't do anything, and you're like, they just kind of fell apart. Maybe they're riding a little bit high on the Bills game or whatever, whatever. But the Patriots have followed that up with just more good performances. Their quarterback is playing outrageously well. I mean, he's a true MVP candidate. And I think, you know, the only guys above him right now in, like, the MVP race are two guys that you know are good because they're consistently always good, in Mahomes and Allen. So some of that is just the books being like, we got to cover ourselves because these guys are great. They've proven they're great. They're always going to be in the mix. Their teams are going to win a lot of games. They're going to have a lot of touchdown passes. They're going to be in the mix. And then Baker Mayfield. But, like, what quarterbacks are right now playing better? Like, who has played better through seven games? I don't even know. It's not Josh Allen. Josh Allen got off to a great start these last couple. I know he's on bye this week, but.
No, the quarterbacks who are playing better, actually outplaying Drake May. I mean, I think Baker might be one of them.
It's probably Baker.
I think Mahomes. I don't think this is just on reputation.
Okay,
he's
come on strong.
I think Mahomes might be outplaying May. I think that's at least a debate. And we said him earlier, I think Dak is another one of those quarterbacks. Other than that, I don't know how many quarterbacks are.
No.
And he's like, they're all a debate. They're all an argument. Like, it's not like May is wildly getting outplayed by any of those guys. But no, he's playing some of the best football in the league and has been for weeks now.
QB rating, again, I bring it up all the time. It's not the be-all, end-all, but Lamar Jackson is number one in the league, but he's only played four games. Jared Goff is number two, and he plays tonight, so there's a chance maybe it continues to go up or it goes down. And then third is Drake May. The best QB rating of any quarterback who has played seven games this year is Drake May. And he's cut way down on the turnovers. I mean, he's not turning the ball over. He had 12 touchdown passes, just two interceptions. He's completing an insane percentage of his throws. And he's getting like 250 yards passing a game, running the ball. Like, the guy's doing a little bit of everything. And he has a team in first place.
Twitch chat gave us another name. This is a good one. Sam Darnold's having a great year.
Darnold is having a really good year. Yeah.
Statistically, Daniel Jones keeps winning. Daniel Jones is another name
Indiana
that came
Jones,
up in the in the Twitch chat. Are his numbers as good? I don't
Indiana
think his numbers
Jones
are as good.
Has 10 touchdown passes, three picks.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor runs for all the touchdowns.
He does.
Yeah. But they're winning.
But he's having a good year.
They're winning a lot of games. He's having a good year. So look, I mean, I'm not telling you.
He's not the only good quarterback, but
I wouldn't even give him the MVP right now.
No.
I would still say it's Baker Mayfield, but he is playing as good as anyone in the league. And, you know, May yesterday, we talked about this earlier, set a franchise record for the highest completion percentage in a single game, minimum 20 attempts. 91.3 completion percentage at Tennessee. The previous record was Brady in 2009 against Jacksonville, 89%. But if you told me Mac Jones as a rookie in 2021 had some really, really, really accurate games, I'd go, I bet he did. I think he had a good completion percentage for the whole year. But the throws were checkdowns. The throws were not pushed downfield. They weren't, you know, anything tight window aggressive. They were checkdowns to Brandon Bolden on third down and short throws to the tight end and, you know, wide receiver screens. I mean, that's what it was. It was dink and dunk. These throws that Drake May is ripping.
He's chucking it.
The touchdown to Booty was 50-plus air yards down the field. Great catch by Booty, but a great throw. The throw up the sideline to Mac Hollins was incredible. The throw up the left sideline to Steph Diggs going the other way in the second half was backed up against his goal line or against his end zone, whatever it was, deep in their own territory, was an incredible throw. And these are not easy throws. These are not just check down, oh, I understand why he had a high completion percentage. He's throwing to the running back 15 times. No, these are pushing the ball downfield, high degree of difficulty throws where he is, again, targeting receivers way down the field. So I find that to be even more impressive about the way he's playing.
Yeah, average yards per pass attempt. He is third behind Sam Darnold and Lamar Jackson. And again, Lamar has played half the game. So Drake May is throwing it deep. You watch it weekly where we wonder even if he should do it more because he completes such a high percentage. And now we've seen it to a handful of guys. There's a couple of broken plays to Pop Douglas a week ago. There was just design plays to Kayshon Booty when he's getting open. There's great. He's got a great sideline connection, whether it's a broken play or not, with Steph Diggs. So that's the other thing that jumps out is the number of guys he seems to have good chemistry with on the field now. Where,
growing.
Yeah, like last year you were like, maybe Booty by the end, maybe? And now it's like definitely Kayshon Booty. It's definitely Steph Diggs. I would say Hunter Henry for sure.
Yes.
Early in the season, maybe a little bit more productive, but still I feel like he knows where he is and he can go to him. Oh, Mac Hollins and like Pop Douglas might even be popping up on that list a little bit.
I like Mac Hollins.
Mac Hollins is solid.
He is what he is. He's your fourth receiver, but when you need a conversion, I know he didn't reel one in last week against New Orleans on a deep throw.
But he's pretty good.
It's a third and 27. I like Mac Hollins a lot. And I would have him way down the list compared to Booty and Diggs and Henry, who are guys I think you can actually rely on and trust. You know, Ramondre Stevenson in the passing game-ish.
But you can only have five on the field that you can throw to. And so if you're confident in four out of five of them, like, that's pretty good.
It is. And so I haven't heard a lot of crying about the receiver room recently. And we like receivers. You know, Burt Breer was talking this weekend. Oh, there's guys they could trade for. It's not A.J. Brown. This is on the NBC Sports Boston pregame show. He highlighted two names. Chris Olave, who's played incredible these last few weeks.
He was great yesterday.
Including head-to-head against the Pats 2 weeks ago. He's even better yesterday, as you just said. And Jordan Addison, who had another monster day.
So I'm glad you brought up those names because...
Well, those are the ones Breer brought up.
But yeah. I mean, like, so A.J. Brown's sort of like one kind of pipe dream. And then there's the other name that always got brought up with the Pats, and that would be bringing back Jakobi Meyers. And a month ago, I would have been like, yeah, yeah, do that. Now?
I think he's about to get traded. But I don't think he's really hurt. I think they...
Oh, for sure.
I think he's about to get traded.
But at least Olave and Addison have that, like, big-time upside. And, like, yeah, I'd figure out a way to add those guys to the mix. But if you put Meyers out there now, who's coming off the field? Like, I kind of like the guys. I think Drake May likes the guy. Doesn't mean, oh, this team's a wagon and you can't tinker with the roster. Of course you can, but I'm glad it's for names more like that than somebody like Meyers.
Yeah, I mean, to steal from my guy Craig Breslow, you need somebody who's going to move the needle.
Yeah, impact.
Yeah,
I need an impact bat.
You don't just want. Yeah, exactly. Impact bat. Is that how he phrased it? You don't just want a guy who's going to come in and just be there, a part of your room. Just
teams have to like our players.
Well, that too.
Depth. Like, I don't need like depth receivers. I need someone that's for sure really good.
But on the Edelman point about the well-coached team.
And I agree.
Maybe the receiver room is an example of that. I'll give you another small example. We're going to get to May and his ability to keep himself out of harm's way and needing the slide. And is he actually going to get through the year? Because that is a big thing with him. Like, you don't want him to go out there and get killed, smack his head off the turf like he did yesterday, and miss a chunk of time, or heaven forbid something worse, whatever's happening with Jaden Daniels or some of these other quarterbacks. Burrow, Purdy's been in and out all year, etc. But they are well coached too. It was an individual play by Josh Dobbs, but to have Dobbs just come in and boom, convert on 3rd and 5 and keep the drive going to hand it right back to Drake May, that is another example of them being a well coached, well oiled machine where you can just go to the next guy and it didn't really skip a beat.
No, that's a sign of like a team that is buttoned up. You know, I don't know if Vrabel would give Ashton Grant the credit for that or if he'd give Josh McDaniels, but either way, it doesn't really matter.
You mentioned Ashton Grant when he was talking about Josh this morning.
I heard it. But no, that's what it is, I think, with somebody like Dobbs, who by no means do you want to play like a full game, but in a pinch like that, and if Drake May, this may not be the last time all season that he has to leave for a play or two, and if he can go in there and not just run like halfback dive, and then try to be like, all right, hopefully we picked up the first down, and if not, we got a punt. But no, they put the ball in his hands. He's able to throw 1-for-1, big completion of Pop Douglas, gets a first down. That was huge.
617-779-7937. We'll get to May coming up. And again, are you concerned whether or not he'll survive the season with the way he's playing? Some would call it reckless. We'll get to that coming up. Mike Vrabel was asked about some of the chants he received yesterday in Tennessee. Here's what he had to say.
That's neither here nor there. I mean, I'm happy for our players. I think these guys, you know, they're figuring out how to win. They're figuring out how to practice. I guess it's humbling to have these people want to, whoever that is, cheer for us, whether that's the Patriots or Drake May or, you know, me or anybody else.
Okay.
That was pretty sweet, though.
Mostly for you. It was.
Yeah, it was for you. I mean, you can't really ask for much more than that. Yeah, I mean, he goes in there, gets the win, and then they're chanting. Now, it was a lot of Patriots fans, but there were also Titans fans outside the stadium that clearly wanted Vrabel back.
What was one of the signs that Greg highlighted today? Vrabel famously said he'd cut off his you-know-what to win a Super Bowl. Somebody was like, I'd cut off my you-know-what to have Vrabel back.
Yes. 100%. It was like a big sign. I was like, I would just have Vrabel coach the team again. Yeah, I mean, they're going through. Like, so they had Brian Callahan.
Did you cut your off for a Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Probably. That's not a yes, just FYI, but yeah, probably.
No, he's leaning that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Brian Callahan made it through, what's the quick math on that, 23 games?
Sounds right, yeah.
Rough. 23 games.
Well, Vrabel already has more wins in 7 weeks than the Titans do since they fired him.
Correct. He's already won more games this year with the Pats than the Titans have won since they fired
him. He's also won more games than Gerard Mayo. He also won more games than Bill Belichick's last year. He only needed 7 to do it.
Correct.
So, yeah, that's pretty good.
7!
But, no, I was a little... Well, I was surprised. I was quite surprised, actually. Vrabel didn't find any real way to pour it on yesterday. I thought they'd be pouring it on late. They did not.
No, they didn't in that sense. Like, I was waiting for, like, a trick play or, like, some sort of gadget thing. It was a little bit of a slow start, and then it was a dominant second and third quarter. And then I, you know, I but there's something about putting your backup quarterback in and the fans are chanting your name. Like, that doesn't matter what the score is. Like, that's pretty good.
That is true. May was asked about winning one for his head coach back in front of his old team.
I did. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I think that's always cool. I think that's, you know, he downplayed it all week, which we appreciate. You know, I think he was focused on us and worried about us, and that's what matters. But I know that it feels good for him.
Okay, so in some ways, that is more impressive. He downplayed it all week.
Yeah.
But the players knew.
Yeah,
the players were aware of it.
That's what anybody thought.
May was giving him a game ball, which we're still waiting on Vrabel to give May a game ball.
Well, I thought everybody was getting one.
Well, true. To be singled out with a game ball, May hasn't gotten one yet. May singled him out. May didn't say everybody on the team gets one. He said, Mike, this is for you.
He's waiting for a good game from Drake May. Maybe he'll have one.
He absolutely is. So the Patriots win 31-13 in Vrabel's return to Tennessee. And now, Keith, I don't know if we fine-tuned our playoff predictor yet, the Jones and Keith playoff predictor.
Yeah, no, I think we got it.
We did?
Yeah, well, tell me what you're going to say about this one.
This is the Athletics playoff predictor that I saw today. I was unaware of this until a week ago.
This is current chances to make the playoffs.
Yeah, correct. From Chad
Kraft.
Kraft. He passes this along from the Athletic. He says the Patriots now have a 91% chance of making the playoffs.
Okay.
That is greater than the Buffalo Bills at 89%.
Wow.
They have a 55% chance of winning the division, greater than Buffalo at 45%.
Yeah, sure, of course. If it's 55, it has to be the best, right?
The Dolphins and Jets are both at less than one. They don't put zero. They put less than one.
Less than one?
That's what this thing says.
So let me update mine.
Yeah.
There are ours. I should speak for both of us. Yep. Jones and Keefe, playoff predictor. Patriots, 100% chance.
Yep.
Jets, 0% chance.
Okay, good. I like that playoff predictor better.
I think we nailed it.
Okay.
Oh, let me do you one better. Dolphins, 0% chance.
Yes.
Bills? 100% chance.
They will make the playoffs.
Make the playoffs?
Yeah. So they also do Super Bowl odds. This Athletic playoff predictor has the Bills at 9% to win the Super Bowl.
This is okay.
They have the Patriots at 6%. So what did we settle on again for ours? What did we settle on?
Seven.
There it is.
We're at 7% for the Pats to win the Super Bowl.
Never moves.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
No. It's not going to budge.
It's a good, healthy chance.
Yeah.
You think the championship window is officially open? And it's not just about beating Tennessee yesterday. That's not why I feel this way.
No.
I look at the entire landscape in the AFC. I look where they're at. They're the number two seed. They only trail Indiana, Indianapolis, rather.
Both.
And I say, yeah, the championship window is crazy as that sounds. The best team in the playoffs, I think, isn't even a playoff team right now. It's the Chiefs at 4-3. Season ends today outside of the playoffs looking in. So, yeah, the championship window is open.
Yeah, it is. And I don't say it the same way as baseball and hockey. You know how I feel about baseball. Like, you make the playoffs, you're a World Series contender, and like vice versa, right? Like, that's just how it goes. But basketball's not that way, and neither is football. We've seen too many years. Even the last time the Patriots were in the playoffs, they were a playoff team, but they were not a Super Bowl contender by a long shot.
I think that's a great point by you. It's like,
thank you.
They made the playoffs in 2021. We all knew they had no chance that specific week against Buffalo.
Right, let alone moving on to somebody else even better.
Never mind a chance to win the Super Bowl. We all knew that team was going nowhere. They got to the playoffs. Good for them. Can't take it away. But we knew they were going nowhere once they got there. This team may be going places.
Well, yeah, and I don't think you can ignore it. And I know it feels like, oh, maybe everyone's getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. But if you're looking at the playoffs right now, and it's not 2 weeks in, this is 7 weeks in, the top four seeds are Colts, Patriots, Broncos, Steelers. So they already played the Steelers head-to-head. They turned it over five times and still had a chance to go and tie the game at the end. So that was a terrible game, but Steelers got the win. The Colts are 6-1, but if everybody's ready to hand the conference over to Danny Dimes, like, I don't know what to tell you. And then the Broncos have a great defense, but they almost lost to the Giants yesterday, and they're definitely a beatable team. So I think the Chiefs should be the favorite, despite, like you said, them not even being in the playoffs right now. The other playoff teams would be the Bills, Chargers, and Jaguars.
You already beat the Bills. The Chargers and Jaguars are going the wrong way.
Right.
So, yeah, that's the AFC playoff picture.
So, yeah, in that case, it is open for them. There is no juggernaut. I mean, yes, there is a Patrick Mahomes team. But after that, what, you got a Josh Allen team that you already beat? And then what? I guess, and that's why I'm with you. Like, I'm not going to rule completely out the Ravens. But their problem is, even if you get MVP out of Lamar Jackson, do they have to score 50 points every game to win?
Maybe.
Because their defense is awful.
Look, if the Ravens make the playoffs, I know this offends the text line, but if the Ravens make the playoffs, I wouldn't want to play them. I wouldn't want to see Buffalo in a playoff game again, even if the Patriots have beaten them. I definitely wouldn't want the Chiefs and Mahomes. That's the list, though, for the AFC. Like, no one else scares me. Doesn't mean the Patriots couldn't lose to any of them. They could. But no one else scares me. I mean, those other teams you'd have to take seriously. The rest of the AFC, and right now, Two of those three teams aren't even in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The rest of the AFC, not very daunting at all.
I mean, it's crazy to even think that, like, because you're saying how they have a better chance to win the division than the Bills, and there's only one bye. But if you win the division, you're already on that short list of four teams that have a chance for the bye, and now you're like, well, why not? Like, why not them? And I was looking ahead. So the Colts would have the bye right now, as crazy as that sounds. The Colts still have a game at Pittsburgh. They still have a game at Kansas City. They still have a game at Seattle, and they have two division games against Houston. So, like, I don't know. Like, there's no head-to-head. There's no Pats-Colts this year, but that's just one to sort of keep an eye on.
No, keep it circled for sure. And one of the gripes we had about the Pats all week is, can they get the run game going? Are they going to be able to win games late in the year if they can't get the run game going? Yesterday, and Tennessee's bad at stopping the run, but so was New Orleans and Carolina, Buffalo, yeah, and all those other teams. They got the run game going a little bit. So add that to the list. Is the championship window open for the Pats? 617-779-7937. And then the other side of that coin, you know what could slam it shut real quick?
What's that?
Drake May getting hurt and missing time.
No.
That was right in your face yesterday. We'll get to it after trending with Billy Lanny.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. It's four wins in a row for the New England Patriots after yesterday's 31-13 victory over the Titans in Tennessee. Drake May finished the game 21 of 23 for 222 yards, two passing touchdowns, and 62 rushing yards. Drake May will be joining WEEI Afternoons today at 2:05. Up next, the Pats return home to host the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. The Browns are now 2-5 after yesterday's 31-6 win over the Miami Dolphins. Tonight is a Monday Night Football doubleheader. First up, the Detroit Lions host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You can catch a call of the game right here on 93.7. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock and kickoff is at 7 o'clock. And at 10 o'clock, the Houston Texans are in Seattle to play the Seahawks. Boston Bruins have now dropped four in a row after falling 3-2 to the Mammoth in Utah. The Bees return to the TD Garden tomorrow night to host Brad Marchand and the Florida Panthers. Puck drop is at 7:30. Last night in the ALCS, the Blue Jays even their series with the Seattle Mariners at 3 games apiece after a 6-2 win in Toronto. Game 7 is tonight. First pitch is at 8:08. The winner of this series will move on to play the Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series beginning on Friday night. And the Boston Celtics will begin the regular season on Wednesday night at home against the Philadelphia 76ers. In the spirit of Halloween, Awaken 180 is offering consultations, free consultations all month long. It's scary how easy losing weight can be. Find out if Awaken 180 is right for you and for free. Call to book your free Awaken 180 consultation at 844-346-1800. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
I didn't mean to offend our guy Hunter Henry earlier today.
You kind of did. This might have been the most offended he's been by one of our questions.
I just, on a scale of 1 to 85, I was an 85 on that Hooper touchdown yesterday, surprised.
Yeah, I did not see that coming.
He had that in his game. I was not aware of it, but Hunter Henry goes, oh, well, you guys might need to watch more.
Yeah, he's like, put on the tape.
We've had Austin Hooper's done that before?
No, not that I've seen.
He's been in the league though a little bit.
Maybe he has.
Look, perhaps.
Yeah.
I don't recall that.
Well, you gotta open your eyes when you watch the game, I think.
I guess so.
He's a 2-time Pro Bowler.
He was sticking up for his guy Hoop. 2-time Pro Bowler?
Yeah, Hoops. Two Pro Bowls.
What, both in Atlanta, I guess?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I forgot. In Atlanta, look, he was a pretty good player, actually. So it's been a while.
660 yards and 4 touchdowns 1 year. That was a Pro Bowl season.
That was, yeah.
And then 787 and 6.
Those are Pro Bowl seasons.
Jermaine Wiggins rolling over in his grave right now. Wiggy would have made. He was a 2-time Pro Bowl snub, as we know.
Oh, I've heard.
I think his numbers were better than those.
You hear of Vrabel and Wiggy actually talking about who was the better tight end?
Yeah. And Wiggy's like, well, that didn't happen while I was here. And Vrabel's like, well, it would have.
Like, okay. That was a good answer by Wiggy, though. Wiggy's like, he didn't catch all those touchdowns until I was gone.
No, I was here.
I was like, good point.
It's true. I didn't see Vrabel catch any passes in the snowball.
Nope,
did you?
I don't recall that.
Not me.
Good line by Wiggy.
Uh-huh.
So that was an incredible catch. So the point is, and Booty's touchdown catch was great.
It was.
So Drake May really legitimately was helped out by some of those receivers yesterday. He underthrows Hooper on the touchdown. Hooper makes a great individual play. Booty makes a great fingertip catch.
You think that was an underthrow?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think so.
What do you think it was?
Up against the back of the end zone. You kind of have to put it there so we can go get
no,
it.
No, but when I say underthrow, I mean he had to reach over the defender's head is what I mean.
I don't feel it was a good throw.
It was a successful throw.
It was a successful throw. Wouldn't you want him high-pointing it there?
He did high-point it.
No, he didn't.
I've never seen him jump higher in my life.
Yeah, but he had to reach up high and like levitate over the guy to pull it like off his back.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I got to watch it again. It was on the back of his helmet. It was on his back. Like I felt like it was a bit of an underthrow.
Right,
but here's the point. May's locked in. He got some help yesterday, but May is locked in.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of when he's smashing his head off the turf, Keith.
Well, yeah.
Which I know you're concerned about, and I think May did himself no favors when this happened earlier this year, I think against Pittsburgh, where he said after the game, well, yeah, I learned pretty quick. You better get right back out there because the spotters are going to get you. Yesterday, the spotters got him. That's the second time he smashed his head.
Spotters got him. Yeah, he kind of put himself on the spotters' radar, I think, by saying that a few weeks ago. And yeah, Nick, watch the Hooper touchdown again. Pull it up. He definitely could have.
Oh, I've seen it. I just don't think it was a bad throw.
Well, no, it wasn't a bad throw.
Bailed him
it was
out.
A little underthrown is all I was
saying. I think if he threw it higher, it would have been an easier catch.
And then
for
he
Hooper.
Gets pushed out of the back of the end zone.
Yeah, but he would have. But that's just the way the momentum was going from the defender. I think he would.
I think he was helped out by it being a little underthrown.
Okay.
All right.
I like
a bold flavor.
I do too. All right. So here's the thing with Drake May. First of all, I think we've seen, and this is my theory that I have, is if he has like a little bit of a concussion. We don't know if it is or it was, like, quote unquote, a little bit of a concussion.
Low level.
That's the only.
Like grade one.
Yeah. That's the only thing that affects his accuracy right now. So when he had that early in the season, he then threw a pick, right? And then the next throw attempt, he threw a pick.
The one he threw in the end zone against Pittsburgh. Yep.
This one, he comes back into the game and throws it like 2 yards behind Pop Douglas. I know you have a separate theory on that, but I feel like he didn't put it right on Pop Douglas. And so you're like, oh, maybe don't call pass plays right away when Drake May has scramby eggs upstairs. So that'd be my one concern. But in all seriousness, I still do want him to run. And there's that fine line where it can't be all or nothing, right? You can't like the benefit of it, but then as soon as he gets hurt, be like, well, keep him in the pocket. Don't have him run. That was stupid. That was reckless. He's got to be able to run. He's done a pretty good job this year of knowing when to take chances, when not to. Yesterday, it did seem like maybe it was just more open for him. I mean, he had 62 yards rushing on 8 attempts, so that is pretty good. But, yeah, you go back to that one. He did take a few hits in the game, and the one that stands out is obviously when he gets wrapped up, goes down to the ground, and then back of the head. He even, like, when he sat up, he kind of, like, shook his helmet, and you're like, oh, boy. You're like, they should probably go take a look, and they did.
So my opinion on that fourth down conversion to Pop Douglas, which was a great sliding reach-back catch by Pop Douglas, I think Douglas and May aren't totally on the same page on some of these plays where he doesn't sit down. May expects him to sit down, and he doesn't. Now, you're right. Maybe he was still a bit foggy. Maybe he wasn't locked in. We did see that against Pittsburgh, so maybe that was going on. But that drive to start the second half, they ate up half the quarter after they got the late touchdown to Booty to go up 17-13. So it is still a four-point game. They feel like, especially looking back on it, they're very in control of the game. But you're up 17-13, you're driving. May leaves the game, and it's third down. Dobbs comes in, runs around a little bit, is able to extend a play, rolls to his right, and hits Pop Douglas for 18 yards on 3rd and 5. So the drive keeps rolling. May comes back in. They're facing a fourth down, 4th and 1. They need that fourth down conversion there, which I'll be honest, in real time, I thought they should have kicked. I don't know about you. I thought they should have kicked that one.
I was surprised that they didn't. Yeah, so, I do too. And I was like, well, this hopefully will work out for them. But like, I would have gone for maybe 3 at that
point. Credit to Vrabel. I was wrong. I would have kicked there. And I normally am pretty aggressive in when I would want to see Vrabel go for it and when not. I wouldn't have gone for that one. They did. They hit the play on 4th and 1. Next thing you know, Stevenson scores on the next play. The first play when the Titans have the ball, they cough it back up. Cam Ward turfs it. Kalavon Chaisson's in the end zone, and boom. You went from maybe a one-score game with Tennessee getting the ball and your quarterback hurt to now you're up 31-13 and the game is over.
Overall, I like the aggressiveness. I do often like going for fourth down conversions, but that one I was wondering, like, all right, it seemed like the Tennessee offense had completely stalled at that point, and a touchdown, you would have been now up by a full touchdown. It felt like it would have been maybe insurmountable. You know. But then again, they made the right play call there. They were aggressive. Great play by Pop Douglas. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe he didn't sit down, and therefore it's not he overcame, you know, bad route running. But either way, sick play. They stick with it. And it's also stuff like that that we've referenced before when they go for it on fourth down. It's not just the play call and in that moment, but it's also for the rest of the season. But like showing the team, like it's one thing to be like, hey guys, I got faith in you, field goal. You're like, well, how much faith do you have in if you're just going to kick a field goal? Like you're putting that kind of confidence into the team and they reward you for it.
This is Drake May after the game, asked how he was feeling after smashing his head off the turf yet again, twice in 7 games this year. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I feel all right. Just got to get down. Just landed awkward and felt all right. But no, I feel good. So.
Okay.
All right. Feels good.
Feels good.
Nothing to see here.
Got to get down. Text line is saying, look, it's okay to run, which you and I both want him to do.
Yes.
You got to pick your spots to slide. And this is where I have the hardest time squaring away week one against the Raiders, because it looked so awkward in the Raiders game.
Yeah, he did not look comfortable.
He didn't. And like any time he kind of got a yard or two and a defender was within shouting distance, he was sliding. So I don't want that either. So that's admittedly a hard line. And how do you teach it? I would tend to say yesterday, I didn't feel like he was drastically putting himself in harm's way or he lost track of defenders or anything like we saw last year against the Jets. He wasn't on the sideline where he could have just gone down and fighting for an extra yard like he was last year against the Chargers. Like, I think those were way more egregious and way more foolish plays by May a year ago. But now we've seen a couple of times him smash his head off the turf. And, yeah, you'd like to see a little bit more awareness and a little more growth there. But that's kind of how it goes with these mobile quarterbacks. Josh Allen slams hard to the ground all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the road you got to live with these quarterbacks. I don't want to see them dial him back in terms of how much he's running and how aggressive he is to pick up some of these plays on the ground. You'd like a little more awareness on the back end, but if that's the trade-off, I'm willing to make that trade-off right now with him.
Yeah, and that one was tough too because, you know, this isn't Drake May lowering his shoulder and trying to like plow through a middle linebacker, right? And or like going full speed into a safety and trying to get that extra yard like at the goal line or something. this is him scrambling out, and it's was it a corner that like grabs him, and it's just the way he like gets rolled down. He's bigger than the defender. So this isn't like a classic, like, oh, he just got smoked. The guy wraps him up and then needs to like slide himself down. And then at that point, he can't really protect himself and his head hits the back. But it wasn't like the hit wasn't big, right? And I know, you know, we all saw the play. It was he hit his head on the ground. So it's tough, you know, because I think there are going to be plays like this anytime you have a mobile quarterback. But I'm not going to try to take it out of his game.
By the way, Vrabel talked to the media about an hour ago. That's after he talked post game and then this morning with Greg. He was asked if May is feeling any after effects a day later, any concussion symptoms, which sometimes can surface a day later. Vrabel said none that he's aware of. He's not aware, rather, of May being in any concussion protocol or anything like that today.
Well, he got cleared, and we can all, I mean.
We got cleared on the field, yeah, but if anything.
So I'm saying, like, Julian Edelman has famously talked about how you can clear those and everything else. So you know Chris Nowinski, right, yes. Over at BU. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw his tweet on that play. So Drake May goes down. He has the clip of it, and he says, Drake May with a classic shake here immediately after his head hit the turf with extraordinary force. Even if he clears the exam, we all know what he felt, and a smart team does not put him back in the game, but we'll see.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't have played him.
I had no qualms about putting him back in. He's a big boy.
Yep. No, I know.
He can make his own decisions, and if he's cleared, he can go back in there.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, this is Mike Vrabel after the game yesterday, asked about Drake May and if he wants to see him slide more.
No, I just wait for the doctor to tell me how he's doing, get the next guy in there, which is Dobbsy, and get a play in there. And then when the trainers tell me that he's okay, then we put him back in there and we'll talk to him about, you know, protecting himself and being smart. But I think he's tried to do that for the most part.
So the one thing I'd be worried about with May yesterday, he was a little loose with the football. Like how many different times was the ball rolling around on the ground? He lost the ball. It happened on that play. It happened again when he came back in on a later drive. So I'd want to watch that because May fumbled a ton last year. He fumbled a lot early this year, including a boneheaded one against Pittsburgh. So that's something I'd want to monitor with him. But it's been a while since he's actually turned it over, so I'd give him some leeway on that.
No, that's true. He's held on to it, that's for sure. This was also the most rushing yards he's had in a game. He had 8 for 62.
All year?
In a game. Yeah, all year, yeah.
Oh.
Most yards. Yeah, he went 11, 31, 45, 11, 12, 28, 62.
Huh.
I thought
he ran a ton in that Miami game.
So he had 10 carries for 31 yards and a touchdown.
Oh, it seemed like a lot more. Okay.
And honestly, he had 10 carries against Miami and he had 9 against New Orleans. And I feel like there had to be a couple kneel downs there. So as far as like straight runs were concerned, yesterday might have been the most.
Miami wasn't because the game.
New Orleans was definitely kneel downs for
sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that one was.
All right. But anyway, okay. Look, maybe they dial back the attempts a little bit this upcoming week against Cleveland. That's probably a good defense to do it against.
Yeah, May had 2 kneel downs in the Miami game, so that would have knocked him down to 8 like total carries, which seems like a high watermark. I think like the sweet spot's probably more like 5.
617-779-7937. Drake May's health is going to be important for the Patriots to go on a deep run. So are you concerned about his ability to keep himself out of harm's way? You can discuss there. Meanwhile, Mike Vrabel gave a very interesting answer on Stephon Diggs. We played it once earlier today. We'll circle back to that coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
and
it.
You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
The Patriots did indeed get number 5 on Sunday. That was Steph Diggs firing up the troops.
Pretty good.
Before the game.
Pretty great.
There's been a few must-see videos every week coming out of the Pats, which I guess is part of just them being back and good and entertaining.
Yeah.
It's Diggs before the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever's going on in the locker room after the game, where this week Drake May is giving Mike Vrabel a game ball. And I'm surprised, by the way, Twitch chat pointed this out last week. Kraft wasn't in there giving the game ball to Vrabel.
That was a bit of an upset.
I thought for sure he was going to steal the show.
No.
And go in there and make himself a part of the storyline and give the game ball to Vrabel. No. It was Drake May doing
that route.
So, Robert Kraft kept himself out of the fray for once with cameras in there and everything.
It made it for a really nice moment there.
How about that?
Drake May, Mike Vrabel, good chemistry.
But the other one is Vrabel high-fiving guys after the game in the tunnel. Yeah. Like, that's another thing worth sticking around for. But the Diggs leadership before the game, in-game, when he talks during the week, like, that's now must-watch every single week. And there's one of these every week with Diggs.
Yeah, he kind of stands out as, like, one of the real leaders of the team, despite not being a captain. That doesn't seem to matter at all. And I think when we were coming up with, like, best-case scenarios for the team, like, prior to the year, one of them was, like, you get this long honeymoon period from Steph Diggs. He's healthy and capable. I don't know if we ever even included him being, like, the team leader. Like, I don't think that was ever even discussed at all.
I never thought for a second, based on, well, some of what Vrabel's about to say, actually, but also given his stops in Minnesota, Buffalo, and even Houston last year, I never thought for a second he would be, like, an actual good leader on the team.
And I do remember looking it up, and he was a captain in Buffalo. He was a captain in Houston, strangely enough, for a one-year stop. He was a captain. So he's been in the league a long time. I think a lot of guys would look up to him just because of how good he's been. But to see him take on this type of role is pretty remarkable, and I think it's another one of the reasons that, like, the whole receiver room is pretty legitimate through 7 games. I mean, last year it was the worst room in the league.
Yeah.
It was the worst room in the league.
Don't tell them. They all thought it was the best receiver
room in the league.
They all thought they were incredible. They all had the best hands, and so they were Bugattis and trailer parks
right,
and all these things.
And they got rid of all those guys.
Yep.
And then they kept Booty. They kept Pop Douglas. But they added, obviously, Diggs and Hollins. And we'll see, still TBD, I think, on Kyle Williams, the rookie. But it's really been Diggs and Hollins showing up. You have a better play caller. The quarterback has played better. But those guys now, you're like, all right, that's good. Like, yeah, you could always improve it. But, like, you can go into a game and be like, you're going to get big plays from wide receivers, which we haven't said in 6 years with the New England Patriots.
No, it's true. So I feel that way about Diggs.
Yeah.
And I personally don't know that it's going to last. It never has at any of his other stops. You refer to it as a honeymoon period for a reason, Keith. That's exactly what it was in Minnesota.
Yep.
It's exactly what it was in Buffalo. Again, even it had a shelf life in Houston, I think. They needed receivers this offseason. They went out and drafted two. they traded for or signed, I forget which, Christian Kirk. They had an opportunity to bring back Diggs. They didn't want to. So it does have a shelf life. It is a honeymoon period. But I didn't expect to hear Vrabel say any of this morning, but this is a good test for how we all listen to things because we all have different theories on Vrabel and what he had to say this morning on the Greg Hill Show.
Can you express what you have had in your expectations for Steph?
I enjoy. He's easy to talk to. He's fun to be around. He's the same guy every day. Communicates well if something comes up or he. Again, our conversations are very easy. They're good. He doing everything that we've asked him to do, and hopefully we can keep going.
Okay, so you read that as pretty positive.
Yeah, I thought it was positive. He was saying he does everything they ask him to do. He says he's the same guy every day, which I think is not nothing. I think a lot of times when guys kind of wear out their welcome in a spot, and maybe you could even make the case for him in Buffalo, like his last year in Buffalo, do you think Sean McDermott would say, hey, every day we know exactly what we're getting out of Steph Diggs? My guess would be no. My guess would be some days he shows up one way, and you're like, hey, this is a great teammate. Other days, maybe less so. And so he's just saying, like, yeah, everything we've asked him to do, he's done. He talks about how easy the communication is between he and Stephon. So, yeah, I looked at that all as a positive. Now, he does take his time in the answer. I'll give you that.
He's searching for, it felt like, some specific words.
You don't want to misstep,
though. Right to him. No,
people,
it's true.
There are people that will twist your words around.
That's
happened.
Guilty as charged. Yeah. But just, I don't know, like it seemed like he was searching for the words very carefully there.
Yeah, sure.
When talking about Stephon Diggs. And then he said at the end, hopefully it continues.
Well, hopefully it does.
I guess
hopefully it does.
I guess you could say that about anybody. Yeah. I feel like that's not how he answers everything. He's asked about a lot of individual specific players.
Yeah.
All of his answers don't end with hopefully it continues.
No.
So that struck me as odd. And I think back to him not being here during voluntary OTAs. I think of him on the party boat. And I just wonder if that's still in Vrabel's mind. That's where my mind went when I heard that answer. So I didn't read it as positively as you did, Keith. But we can agree to disagree on that. Minds can differ on that one.
Third theory.
Nick had a third theory on this. So what was your theory?
I think he was up against it, and he was thinking about what he wanted to say, so it wasn't rambling on, so we could just get out of there.
He
was done with the interview.
That was at the end.
It was the second to last question.
He had been on for a while.
Last two answers, question and answer combined, for like maybe a minute and 15 seconds.
So it could be that.
He was up against it and needed to get out.
He was done with them.
Yeah, he was like,
very possible.
Guys, I need to move on.
I mean, look, they're a pleasure to be around, but at some point, the man has to get on with his day.
Enough. I'm down here. I'm doing the interview. I would now like to leave. I got a brunch.
You know, enough Greg, enough Courtney, enough Wiggy, enough Chris. It's time for me to go.
A giant omelet with my name on it. I need to leave here.
So look, any of those
theories. He's got film to watch.
Any of those theories could be right. 617-779-7937. John is in Franklin. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. So a couple of very quick things. I want to talk about May, but I'm glad you talked about Diggs. Really quick point on him. I've been really impressed. I didn't want them to sign him originally just because of all his baggage and stuff. And he was coming off a torn ACL and his age. He's been excellent. Like, I don't even think he's at 100%. I'd say he's playing at like 70 to 80%. But just the effort he's given every week. And honestly, the leadership has really surprised me. And they haven't had guys like him in the last, 5 years. So that's been great. Onto the May point very quickly. Look, I wanted them to draft a dual threat quarterback for years, and I was so excited when they got May because I've watched around the league, and that's the way it was trending. So I'm really concerned about this guy's health because I watch other quarterbacks, whether it's Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Mahomes, Josh Allen, the way they, get hit or go down when they're running is different from May. I can't even kind of quantify this or put this into words, but when May gets hit or he takes hits when he's running and scrambling, he falls clumsily, if that makes sense. Like, it's almost like he needs to learn to pick his spots pick how to fall, if that makes sense.
John, I agree with that, and like sliding may help him in that regard. But let's also not overreact. We have four different incidents of this now this year. In his career. He got hit against the Jets and missed the end of that game, which they won without him, back in October a year ago. He was back the next week against Tennessee. He left the Chargers game briefly in December. He returned to that game. He probably should have been flagged by spotters in the game against Pittsburgh. Did not miss a snap.
Yeah.
And he missed, what, three snaps yesterday?
Yeah.
So, like, what are we really talking? Why are we all so concerned? He hasn't even missed a full game due to injury. There was only one that he left and didn't return to.
No, but maybe it's a little bit like you're playing with fire. Like, if we see your head slam against the turf, like, all right, you got by, maybe even you fooled him or whatever. But, like, it looked like something happened there on that one. And it doesn't mean you can't grind it out and go back out there. But, you know, those can add up. Those can take the toll. All it takes is one of those ones, and all of a sudden it's like a Tua season where all of a sudden you're out for a little while. I think it's something to keep an eye on. I'm not as worried as the caller is about it. I think he still has to run his game, but I think even yesterday is a reminder to him on how to pick and choose when he goes. He was even saying in the post game, maybe a couple of those where he tucked it and ran, he could have thrown. But that doesn't mean you're not going to get hit from a defensive end or an edge player or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I think it's still worth talking about because he left the game yesterday. So even if it was only for a couple of plays, he still left the game because he had to get checked out.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on that. We'll also get back to Drake May. We're talking about Steph Diggs and his leadership. Drake May growing as a leader. That was on display this weekend. We'll do it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.